Oh yeah, the blood that never loses power. That's an oldie but goodie, right? And that goes back many years ago. And you know, it used to bring tears to my eyes because it was so true, so peaceful, and so calm. You know, and it gives you that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And of course, this song goes, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." And so I hope you have that peace today. I hope you have that serenity, and that you're truthful with yourself and with God. And, you know, sins, they got to go. Just remember, we have the Lord's Supper. Just remember this. God looks at the heart, you know. It's not necessarily about the physical part. He looks at the spiritual part. And that's what Paul was looking at here. I know the week before last, because we had dear Jim Heather here from Gideon's, we had looked at that sermon, "Out of Sight, Out of Mind." And yet, I hope that we take time today, at least if we can't remember the faces of people, to write their names down, to remember to pray for them, or if there's somebody you haven't talked to in a while, you know, call them and see how they're doing, and so on and so forth. We're going to look at today's message, and you know, Paul is continuing looking at this church of Thessalonica. It's a small, small church like ours is today, but it's mighty in power. It's got, you know, God does not look at numbers. He looks at hearts, and he looks at our minds. And, you know, this church, remember, Thessalonica, he didn't even have to call himself an apostle. You know, we were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and, you know, Paul had that relationship with them, and it was growing because he was having issues with that church. And every church that you go to, you know, we're nobody's fool here today. They all got problems. You can go to big churches, they got problems. You go to little churches, they got problems. But God is the problem solver, what I'm trying to say here. And what Paul did was something very special here. He digs deep in. And I thought it was very wonderful because as you look here at verse 1 here in chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, he says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it." In other words, he was like, "I miss my love." Have you ever missed your love once? Kids, have you ever missed mom and dad? Been away at camp, they're like, "Oh, no, nope, not me. I wanted to get away from them for a while." You know, no, seriously, you do. At the end of the day, you do miss mom, and you do miss dad, and you do miss the family. I know there are families here that we miss. We do. And yet, this word here called, he said, "I could no longer endure it." It has the endurement, has the idea, you know what, I love you and I miss you very much and I can't wait to get to you. Paul at this time was in Athens. Remember, he was pretty much kicked out of Thessalonica because of the religious people. And what happened was he went to Berea. He got kicked out of Berea because of the religious people. And then he went to Athens. Well, you had the Jewish people running after him, the Judaizers who wanted to keep the law. They were like, "Oh, no, no, we don't want this grace talk. This is too easy. This is too childish. You can't have this. We want to have the law. We want something with guts, something with stamina with it behind it. God's grace is far better than the law anyway. That's why Jesus came, died on the cross." So he went to Athens and he was confronted with the Greeks were philosophers, okay? Remember it says in Romans, the Jews look for a sign. They were always looking for signs, and the sign was right there, Jesus Christ, but they rejected Jesus. The Greeks are always into debates and philosophies. And so Paul went there, and he was in Athens, and then, you know, word got back about what was going on in this church, and they were being harassed. And I tell you what, you ever had an older brother or sister? I did, growing up. And they were right there for you. And if anybody came along and tried to pick on you, remember when you were young, you might have been the one with the target on your back. If you were a little guy, you always had the big guys trying to come up to you and take you on, you know. Well, thank God if you had brothers and sisters, or if you had a good father who taught you how to fight, you know, you could fight back. And, you know, we live in a spiritual battle today. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. And, you know, I felt it yesterday. But I realized something in myself. You know, Lord, I need to clean out things in my life. I got to get things right because I'm a sinner like anybody else is. So Paul had to deal with this outside influence with the Greeks. And so he was on Mars Hill. He you know, looked at the unknown God. He had talked about that because they had so many idols out there. And today we have a world of a lot of idols out there. And Paul is saying something here from a pastor's heart. And of course, we do have the great shepherd. Psalms 23, we have the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so it was Paul's heart and prayer for these people. He's saying, look, I can no longer endure it. I want to get back with you all if I can possibly can. If you took a horse, it would take you 8 to 12 days to get there, and it would take you about 30 to 35 miles a day on horseback. And I think you would have a sore butt after a while if you weren't used to riding a horse, let alone. But these people were trained in horses. They learned about horses like we do with cars. Life was different back in the day, but it was going to take him a while to get back. As it says here, so he could no longer endure. We, though, it good to be left in Athens alone. But, you know, he decided to send Timothy in verse 2. Timothy was his help. You know, Timothy was, most expositors think he was about 20 years of age. He was young. He had stomach issues. I think it was probably an ulcer that he had. And he was raised by his mother and his grandmother were Christian. So he went because Timothy was faithful. Let me encourage you all today. Continue to be faithful. Be strong in the power of his might. So Timothy went. He was sent. Paul stayed behind. He says, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we look at the gospel, it means the good news today. As we see in 2 Timothy 3:16, what Paul had written to Timothy, says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and in righteousness. Doctrine tells us what is right. Reproof tells us what is not right. Correction tells us how to get it right. And instruction tells us how to stay right. And so, working with the knowledge, and we constantly grow there, thereby, we need God's word for food. Spiritually speaking, we need it for the light to guide us in the dark world and a weapon to defend it, us. So there are just a few areas there. We need that every day. Satan tries to do is keep us away from the word of God, and we need to continue therein. So Timothy went with the good news of Christ to what? Establish. That means to support an already existing structure. The church was small, but yet it is already being attacked. Have you had a blessing? I had lots of blessings this week. But then also I knew too, by the wisdom of God, is that I knew there were going to be attacks. And sure enough, as soon as I received the blessing this past week, I got attacked, a spiritual attack, and I was hurt. But I was like, you know, come on, wake up, realize, be sober, be diligent, that, you know, whatever the situation was, and I won't get into it, that I handled it in God's love. And the best way to handle it is in God's love. So we are established, and Paul says, look, Timothy is going to encourage you. It has the same root word for the Holy Spirit, the comforter, to come alongside of you and comfort you. Have you had experiences this week where you've just been doing your thing and then all of a sudden songs come to your heart or people come to your heart and there's something that just lifts you up inside? It's the Holy Spirit. the songs in your heart and make a melody, and then also praying for people. So that gets you going during the week and as you go on. So, you know, Timothy was going to encourage them concerning that your faith. One person said about gravitating to encouragers. He says, flatter me and I will not believe you. There's a lot of flatterers out there. Criticize me and I will not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you. Lady who started Mary Kay Cosmetics, and I've met a few ladies who are very successful in that. She said, pretend that every single person you meet has a sign around his or her neck that says, make me feel important. Not only will you succeed in sales, you will succeed in life. So there's the, and by the way, Mary Kay was a Christian, a born again Christian in Southern Baptist Church. But by the way, you know, you can look at, people are not going to forget you when you encourage them, when you're there for them, when you take the time out for that person. And you're not in the business for numbers or whatever it is. You know, if you go out and you canvass out evangelism, I'm more than happy to go with me anytime, then I have the comforter with me. And there are people who lift me up, and there are people that I'd rather stay away from, and there's people that I find rather interesting because I learned something about myself. And so going from there. And we see here in verse 3, not only is Timothy called to encourage concerning their faith, that no one should be shaken by their afflictions. And it has the idea of people that are being persecuted. Remember, one of the reasons why this epistle was written, because the Judaizers were coming in and harassing these Christians. And they were trying to make life impossible for them. In fact, there was a guy named Jason in Acts chapter 17 that they had a small house church, and they came in, and the man that was in charge of the court said, look, we're going to arrest you, Jason, a few other these other Christians. So you will stop doing this because you're turning the world upside down. Now think about it. Each one of us has the power in us to turn the world upside down. We have what it takes. The question is, do we use it? Each one of us has been called to do something different. I'm not asking anybody here to do something you're not capable of doing. I'm asking you to do what you're capable to do. And so they were complaining to the magistrate, the council there, in their police department, saying, this is what's going on. And so they finally said, look, you're going to have to pay the fine. And they released Jason out of jail. And so he went his way with a few others. And they told him, you cannot do any more Bible studies. Well, I'm sure that we all know about what the Bible says, that we'd rather obey God instead of man. So anytime that happens, it is scriptural that, you know, we go against the laws in that way, as long as it's keeping with the law of the Word of God. So we know that believers are persecuted because they are not of this world. We also see believers are persecuted because they strip away the world's cloak of sin. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. They want to hear that they're wrong. You know, when you say the word repent, they look at you like, okay, where did this guy come from? You know, how dare you tell me I need to repent? Well, you know, my answer is that, you know what, I have to repent every day of my sins. Get under the blood of Christ. That's the best news I have to tell you, and that's the best news for me. And also, I want to tell you about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believers are persecuted because the world does not want to know God or Christ. And there are a lot of them out there. There was a party going on that I went by, and I looked, and all these people were standing there drinking and having a good time. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, do you want me to talk to these people? And God was like, no, it's not a good time to do it, because alcohol will influence people and it will get people rowdy. It's better to talk to people about the Lord when they're not under the influence of alcohol. So believers are persecuted because the world is deceived, and it is the concept and belief in God. And so not long ago in Vietnam, there was a person here, a pastor, who was taken and arrested. And he was from India. It was in the news this past week. The Hindus came and they trumped up charges in the country of India. And now he's in prison for something he didn't do. They're all trumped up charges because they're angry at him. And they did not want him to convert any of the Hindus, and that's going against their law. The administration and the officials don't do anything about it because they don't want to get shot. There's a lot of fear out there. I'm very thankful for the country that we have. It could change at any time. So remember, and then, of course, there are other stories here about people suffering for the Lord. And then there's also the afflictions and persecutions in verse 3. Paul's encouraging the Thessalonians, don't let it shake you up. Be stable. For you yourselves know in verse 3 that we are appointed to this. For the fact we are told you before when we were with you that you would suffer great tribulation just as has happened. And you know. And so... There was a man, you remember him, Vince Lombardi? Vince Lombardi was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. And I think he led the football team to 2 or 3 NFL championships. And there's a story here, Red, that there was a man who was there. He was a guard. And his name was Jerry Kramer. I don't know if you remember him, but Vince looked at him one day and he goes, you know what, I'm really disappointed in you. You need to go take a shower. And so Jerry left and he came out of the shower, got dressed, and Vince went over to him and said, look, he goes, I know what you got, what it takes, and you need to start using it because the rest of the team needs you. And I was thinking about a church, you know, we're all pulling together. We're all trying to work things out. And, you know, we're all in this together. And so what Jerry did is, you know, he had his head down. He had his head down to where his chest was. And Vince had a gift of bringing the best out of people. And today, if you want to bring out the best in people, do that. Do that, okay? And so Vince looked at him and says, do it. So what Jerry did is he went out there and he became the best all-time guard in professional football for that year. All because he believed. And that's just it. Paul's saying to the Thessalonians, believe. You can do it. Okay? Just trust God. Walk by faith and believe that he can move mountains in your life. So that's what happened there. There will be a time of we're suffering tribulation because of our own selves, because of our flesh, because we disappoint God. When we get to ourselves where we feel inadequate, you know what? That's when God can use us. That's when you say, Lord, I need this time to be stronger with you. Help me to fight this battle that I'm fighting right now, and I can't do it alone. It could be a number of things. You might be feeling sick. You might be depressed. You might be down and out. Or you might be discouraged. You might be very tired. Just remember, God's with you. God will give you the strength. He'll give you peace and comfort in the time there, and he will build you up. Don't worry about what other people say. Just remember, that's between you and the Lord. So Timothy, he's going to encourage the church here. For just as I know it happened, and you know, for this reason, when I could no longer, Paul says, endure it, I sent to you to know your faith. And so Timothy would go there to help them to establish their faith. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. And so we are constantly, like I said, in that spiritual battle, lest by some means the tempter tempted you and our labor be in vain. There are three ways the tempter likes to come to us. He can come to us at night or during the day or any time, even today, too, to tempt us. To doubt God's goodness. The tempter will say to you, God's not that good to you. What do you think? Number two, to retaliate against others with anger and resentment. Oh, that person hurt my feelings. I can't wait to get that person. No. We have to realize that, forgiveness and love and the blood of Christ works out. And then there's three, to give into despair and discouragement. And you just pretty much, you feel like, I can't do this anymore. But God is a helper in need. Remember, there is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that comes alongside of you. So moving on here, Timothy is going to be sent. He's going to be a help. Therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and distress, we were comforted concerning to know you by with your faith that you have. So with the afflictions, afflictions prove the reality of our faith. Sometimes we can look back at it and claim 1 Peter 1:7 says the genuineness of our faith like gold is tested by the fire. Number two, afflictions develop our character. Be a better person than you were. Look back at in your life, and I said this in Sunday school, where you might think about, I'm struggling with a sin. Am I getting better at overcoming the sin? Are things working out? It says James 1:3 saying that the testing of our faith produces patience. Romans 5:3-4 says tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Afflictions enable us to comfort others going through similar trials. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, tell us that God comforts us all in tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So it is time to be a comfort to one another. And so sometimes if God sits you in a chair that's a hardback chair made of wood, it's uncomfortable in your back, it's time to move, right? Get into something that's more uncomfortable that God has for you with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And God will sometimes allow us to sit in those wooden chairs to get our attention about ourselves. He is never there to hurt us or dismay us. And then as we move along here in verse 7, it says, we are comforted concerning your faith. He says, and distress we were comforted concerning by your faith. Paul's saying, look, you can overcome your trials by your faith. Faith is in God's character, that he is good and makes no mistakes. Remember, God doesn't make mistakes when you're going through something. Also, faith in God's word that is true no matter what happens to us. There's that peace, that passable understanding. Faith in God's purpose, that he is conforming us to be in more in the image of Christ. Faith in God's promise that he will never give us more than we can bear. Say, God, I failed you. Maybe you failed God this week. Well, God will help you deal with the problem. He will never give you too much. Usually we end up failing. And I'm saying this very gently because we all been there, done that. Faith in God's presence, that he is with us in the darkest moments of life. When you think there's no hope, there's nothing there, God is still there. Don't give up. And then there's faith in God's power that he can deliver us from every temptation. And so he can do that if we just learn to trust him. Now, he goes on to say about here that for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. That has the idea of looking at other scriptures that we have here. Indeed, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Found in 2 Timothy 3:12. Jesus said in Matthew 5:11 and 12, he says, Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. In the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What words of comfort! They're just wonderful because it's all spelled out there. People before us went through the same things that we're going through because of what? Our faith. And so we need to stand fast on the Lord. Verse 9 says, and Paul remembers this church because they led many of them to the Lord. He says, for what thanks can be rendered to God for you for all the joy which we are rejoiced for the sake before God. He remembers that. Billy Graham said this in one of his programs years ago. He says, joy in heaven. There's joy in heaven over one sinner. And yet it sets off a whole choir of rejoicing. Isn't that wonderful? If we had a whole angelic choir up here and you had Hope leading the music, Faye's over here playing what she does, you know, and they're all robed in white angelic glory, okay, and singing praise to God. You know, that's something we look forward to in heaven. And we just have a small glimpse here on earth, but we have the power and we have the might. And Paul's saying, I'm going to send to you Timothy to what? Encourage you. You have those angels to protect you. We do have guardian angels, like it says in Psalms. We can't see them. But we have an awesome God, a most powerful God, that we've seen throughout the Bible over and over again. So in verse 10, going on, it says here that we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly. In other words, they're praying constantly. And you know, and you can sense when people are praying for you. I tell you, I can sense it. It says, Carrie Ten Boom, who was held in the concentration camp, writes this about prayer. When a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops reading the Bible, the devil laughs. When he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. And Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And James 5:16 reminds us that the earnest prayer of the righteous man has great power and wonderful results. We need to keep on praying. Like I said, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Going on here, so Paul's praying. He says, Timothy's coming within 8 to 10, 12 days. Remember, they were only there for 3 weeks. And he says that they're praying exceedingly that we may see you face to face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So the question is, what is there lacking in their faith? We see there are six areas already mentioned here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 through 13. Verse 2 says they wanted to comfort, that is to strengthen their faith. So he sent Timothy. Number 2, they wanted to know of their faith was standing against the tempter and temptation in verse 5, chapter 3. Also received the word of their faith and love were strong from Timothy. Word was getting back after Timothy had been to Thessalonica. Word got back. There was word about this church everywhere, as well as you had in the different cities around there. Word was spreading fast in Berea, and then also word was getting to there in Athens. And there was also the faith was comforted over their faith. Verse 7. There was also in verse 8, received a renewed life as Thessalonians stood fast in the Lord in the faith. And then we see that in verse 10 here, wished to perfect their faith. So there is always a time when we can continue to be used by the Lord as being faithful. Let me encourage you here today. As we are faithful, we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Paul and Peter penned, you know, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important. So that needs to be perfected for what is lacking in your faith. Verse 11 says this, "Now may the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ," the Lord means Yahweh. That means He is Lord over all, over everything in the universe. It's a word that even Jews don't even pronounce because it's so holy. Okay? I think when we get to heaven, I know me personally, I'm going to be flat on my face because I'm like, oh, this is like Isaiah. It's like, woe is me. This whole, the holiness of God. Not the parade, not the circus, but the holiness movement they got going on today. You know, I'm sorry it offends some people. I'm not, you know what? I got to tell it like it is. The Lord Jesus, Jesus means Yahweh, God saves. And then Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. So, it's very important to understand those words. Direct our way to you. So he's not saying in his power and might, but in the Lord's power and might. And that may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. This is agape love. Because you got to remember, some people were pagans, came from a godless society. Others were Jews, very religious, but they had to knock down their Jewish beliefs and believe in the Savior. And yet, it was so easy to get fleshly. And agape love is not about emotions. And be careful about people who get all caught up in these emotional movements. It's not a good thing. Agape love loves a person even if he does not deserve to be loved. And yet, be careful about our pride. Oh, that person, oh, I'm better than that person is. Be careful. It actually loves a person who is utterly unworthy to be loved. Even when Jesus, when he went, he didn't go try to save the religious leaders. He did it first, but they rejected him. But he went to those who were the down and outcasts, like the prostitutes, the drunkards, the ones that were, and remember, there are very few people who come to know the Lord who are very much up into the world today. You don't see too many of them around. But what the beautiful part is about Jesus Christ and our love for Him and then also for one another, which is something just as beautiful, is that Napoleon had made this comment many years ago. He says Napoleon thought he could be great because of all the wars that he fought, what he conquered. And he actually said this not too long before he died. He says, you know, you have Alexander the Great who conquered the four corners of the earth. You had Caesar that conquered many places. And they founded empires. But there is one who did not create out of genius or a force, he said. This was Jesus Christ alone founded his own power upon love. Love that we have today. And at this hour, millions of men and women would die for him. So it's a beautiful thing to know about. It's so deep, the love for one another. Paul's encouraging as he's wrapping up this chapter here. And to all, just as we do with you, so that he may establish your hearts. And it says here in Ezekiel 11:19-20, it says, "I will give you them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." So God is looking at the heart today. And then it says here, establish your hearts blameless. That means being free from all charges. Isn't that wonderful? All our sins are not counted against us, but they've been forgiven. And the holiness to set us apart and be separated unto God. To live, to grow in that separation with God, being separated from the world, and the things thereof. So verse 13 continues and concludes before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And expositors have argued over this passage. It simply means during, at the end of the tribulation period, we will be coming back with the angelic host and with the saints as the tribulation period ends. Okay. And so we can take courage in that. We've already looked at, last week about the crown of rejoicing. I mean, the week before last, talking about when we get to heaven. It could happen with rapture, or that could happen, at any time now that could happen, to us. So with the conclusion of this, with the encouragement, we ought to ask ourselves some questions here before we get into the Lord's Supper. Are we enduring to visit those with the gospel of love? Are we encouraging one another with the faith? Are we accepting the afflictions that come upon us? Are we comforting one another, lest temper snares? Are we rejoicing in prayer for the needs of others? Are we increasing in love for one another? Are we establishing our hearts blameless in holiness? Are we looking forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? The rapture could happen at any time. The Lord is coming back. Are we ready? That's what I got back on my pastor's board over there. Are we ready? Got it on my truck now too. The Lord is coming back. Are you ready? Some people just look at it like, what is that? What do you mean the Lord's coming back? It's not what they got on YouTube last week when they were talking about, you know, Jesus is coming back. That was all a big farce. You can tell a fake when you hear it and you listen to it and pray about it. God gives you discernment. I pray that he does. So from a pastor's heart and his prayer, you know, going back to what Hope was singing about, he is our shepherd. And he looks out over his sheep, and he's there to help us. He's never there to hurt us.